Welcome to The Design Rules with your host, Wanda Colon. The Design Rules is brought to you by the Academy of Home Staging and Design. Design and business startup training for home stagers and interior designers. Be bold. Design your life. Here's your host, Wanda Colon.
Hi, I'm Wanda Colon. I've been in the interior design and home staging industry for over 20 years. During that time, I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to host interior design television shows like TLC's Homemade Simple for 6 seasons and HGTV's 24-Hour Design for 4 seasons. My design motto is simple. I like to make the world beautiful, one house at a time. Welcome to my podcast. We're going to talk about the business of design, tips and trends, answer any questions on your home projects, and introduce you to national industry professionals I like to call my partners. We may even get a story or two along the way. Hi, and welcome to The Design Rules. Today, I have Kim Kapelish, who is the owner and co-founder of Style MySpace and the Academy of Home Staging and Design. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Wanda.
How are you?
Fantastic.
That's great.
Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Absolutely. So Kim is in Los Angeles right now. That's where her businesses are, you know, central. But I am her business partner on the Academy of Home Staging and Design, and I can't tell you what an amazing relationship we have, and I'm so grateful that you're here.
Thank you. I'm grateful for you as well.
So what we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of our listeners are people that are interested in staging, or maybe they've been home stagers, or they're interested in interior design. We also have some listeners that are just homeowners, so we always like to give them tips as well. But what I'd like to do, Kim, is, you know, when we teach at the Academy, you're such a great example because you started out in the beginning of staging, you know, when staging wasn't a household name, when people weren't really sure and you almost had to sell the concept. So what I'd like to start, is basically, you know, how did you start? Like, what made you think, like, I want to move from Wisconsin to Los Angeles? And like, what was the beginning like?
You know, ironically, I was already doing some photography styling. I've been doing that for 10 years. And my mom called me and she said, your cousin in San Francisco is staging her house. And I'm like, and? And she's all like, well, it's kind of an interesting concept. They come in. I had been watching HGTV and there was sort of some stuff starting with that. Mm-hmm. And I just assumed that people needed a college degree and all kinds of things. And she said, yeah, she was asking the lady how she got started. And she was, and this, I can't even tell you how long ago this was. And she was making 6 figures a year and coming in. And she brought, of course, into my cousin's house, the furniture and some decorations and rearranged it. And I thought, wow, that is kind of just right up my alley. It's what I do every day on the set, but I don't have art directors coming in and rearranging everything. I would be in charge of my design. So It really appealed to me. And that's kind of the catalyst that got me started.
And so when you were doing set designs and stylings for magazines and things, were you in Los Angeles already?
I was, yes.
Okay. All right. So that's so cool. I mean, I also kind of want to talk to you, like, what made you come to Los Angeles?
From Wisconsin.
You grew up in Wisconsin. So, you know, I lived in LA too for almost 20 years, and it takes a lot of guts. You know, it's not an easy transition to go from a small town to Los Angeles.
It's not. But I knew I wanted more out of my life. And I also, there's not a day that's gone by that I've missed the snow. So I can't that. And the cold. I remember walking to school on top of the cars. The snow was so heavy one time, just to get through the parking lot to get to school. So, you know, I definitely don't miss that part. You know, all my family was there, so that was a little tough. But I just, you know, I packed up my car and my dog had about, you know, 2 inches of head space while she got into the car. And we just drove across country. And I just, you know, it was just something I wanted to do. I knew that there was more opportunity in Los Angeles. And I was lucky enough to start right away. I knew that there was a job opening. He did not hire at this magazine. And I went, there was another opening in the art department at the magazine. And I went there and the guy called him and said, "Why don't you hire her? I'm going to hire her." He said, "No, I'm going to hire." And that's how my photo styling career began. It was a rivalry between the art director and the photographer.
It's so good to be in demand.
Right?
So I have to tell you.
I knew the day I did it. And I loved it. The first day of that job. I'd never done it before.
Well,
I went in and I was like, I just loved it.
I think that's something that we have in common. We're both very creative people, but we both have that left and right side of the brain. You know, we're creative, but we also know, like, I have to make money doing this. You know? Like,
absolutely.
I don't want to be poor. You know? So but we really think outside the box. And I was talking to Tammy, and Tammy is our marketing director. She's the director of marketing for the Academy of Home Staging and Design. And she came up with this amazing tagline for us, and it's "Be bold, design your life." And I absolutely love that. And so yesterday I was on the phone with her and I said, "You know, Tammy, I don't think I ever thanked you for such a great job in how you just look at our business and you just elevate it with your marketing skills." And I wanted to specifically ask her about the "Be bold, design your life." And she literally said it was inspired by your life, by you.
That's awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, she's amazing. It is amazing. I mean, I never look at it and can say, like, gosh, I was so bold to pick up and leave and start over somewhere new and start different careers. You know, I didn't ever look at it that way. I just always knew that there was always a driving force in me to be doing something and find that passion and that spark mm-hmm. in doing what I loved. And I kept just kind of getting there. You know, it started out with, you know, photography for a flyer, circular flyer. And then I got into that job I was just telling you about where I was doing the photo styling and creating sets. And then I just kind of grabbed and found, after my mom told me about the thing, I immediately started researching that and went straight to work and got into it. It was something that I was like, that's perfect. That's me. I'm doing it.
You know what, though? This is why I feel people relate to us, because our demographic is very similar. They're creative people, sometimes older. Like, we actually have an older demographic. It's mainly women over the age of 40, 45, up to like 65. And when I talk to them and get to know them in the class, they kind of went through the same thing. They've lived their lives doing something, doing whatever is expected of them. And one day they wake up and say, you know, I want to do something else. I want to do something creative. I want to do something that I enjoy. And I feel like, especially in these times, you know, that's where people are kind of gravitating towards a better lifestyle, you know, living your best life instead of working 9 to 5 and hating it. And I think that people can relate to us. Our students, our graduates can relate to us. And that's why we have such a great coaching program that lasts and people stay in touch with us and we're friends with them on Facebook and social media. And I really think that's why. And that's why I feel like that "Be bold, design your life" is so perfect for the Academy.
It is, absolutely. You're right. A lot of people go through transition and want to move into something that's just for themselves. And I think what's interesting is people do it for themselves and then find out, hey, if I do a little hustle here, I'm going to make some really great money.
Right.
I remember when I went to my first staging conference, and so we're talking almost 20 years ago, and I thought, you know, gosh, I have to replace this revenue that I have with my photo styling, and I just wanted to know how long it would take. Mm-hmm. So when I just asked people, like, you don't have to tell me how much you make, but can you tell me how long it took to get to six figures? And the average answer, and again, this is almost 20 years ago, so most of our students are probably doing this in the first year, year and a half, but they said 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can do that. I can live with that. And that's exactly what happened. I got to that point, and every year just kept doubling and doubling.
That's amazing.
Amazing how far. Yeah. And then you came into my life, which was so awesome. And then we started the design aspect of our business. And that just even increased the revenue. I think 1 year that brought in almost $300,000 extra in revenue, which was fantastic.
It was kind of amazing how we were in the black with the interior design program pretty quickly. But it was a leap of faith, right? I mean, you said, I want to do this, but it also takes a foundation. So let's talk about your training. How, you know, it was, like you said, it was 20 years ago. What was training like back then?
Well, I'll tell you, when I walked out, I thought, thank goodness I had my photo styling background, because I wouldn't even know really sort of how to begin. There was no, like, this is how you set up your business like we do, you know, the 30-day business startup. Mm-hmm. They did say, you know, go out and network, which I did in my local community. Ironically, much later, I got most of my business from places I never networked, because my community was still a little stuck on, if it doesn't sell, we'll just lower the price concept.
Right. So it takes a good foundation to be successful. So I know that you said it's been about 20 years since you started your staging company. What was your training like back then?
Yeah, the early training, yeah, it was pretty, it inspired me to create the training that we have. Mm-hmm. When I left that classroom, I thought, thank goodness I had done photo styling for as many years as I had. I really didn't understand the concept. I didn't know the difference between staging an occupied home and a consultation. Those are pretty basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And the instructor, there were so many people in the class, which is why, you know, we've tailored our class to be very small so everyone can ask questions. There was no real chance to ask questions. I kind of cornered her on a bathroom break and said, what's the difference? And she almost couldn't explain it to me. Because they weren't really working in the industry either. So, you know, they were given a PowerPoint. We watched a PowerPoint for 3 days. You know, the one thing that we did do is we did have a hands-on exercise out in the field. And that's another thing that inspired, you know, us when we were creating our programs to have like 10 hands-on exercises instead of one. So in that moment, I guess I kind of felt like, all right, I kind of can see things coming around. But it was a PowerPoint. We spent the first day talking about themselves. And then we watched the PowerPoint on how to fold napkins. And that was pretty much the first day in comparison to what we cram into a day. That all three of those days is probably less content that we are putting into one day out of our 6-day program. So you know,
it's so funny because after the class, I mean, by the third day, everyone looks at me like, oh my goodness, we've gotten so much information. But I mean, that's what I love is you said earlier, you know, these people that were instructors back then, they didn't do the job. You actually then went and hit the road and you started doing the job, you know, from the ground up with very little education about it. You know, you were certified.
Absolutely.
You were certified, but you kind of had to learn from your mistakes.
So I do love that about us. We practice what we preach. We're successful leaders in the industry. And then we also teach what we know. And we're like, I constantly am saying, this is what I did wrong. Please don't do that.
Right. You know? I know the real life stories are so valuable. And it's a lesson, you know, everybody takes something away with that. And then in addition, because everyone is encouraged to participate, you hear things even from students that the other students then learn. So
how did you, you're brand new stager almost 20 years ago. You're living in Los Angeles County. How did you market yourself? Like, how did you network?
You know, I just did not have a good background for that. They said, go network locally, which told you was not very good results. And then I put up a website. And, you know, this is the biggest tip I could give anyone. We're in the business of first impressions. Don't let your website be like a terrible impression. I created my own website. I have one of those web creator programs through, you know, some affordable hosting program. And it was terrible. And I didn't have any SEO. Mm-hmm. I thought I was paying for SEO, but of course those aren't, that's not like real SEO. So you couldn't find me anywhere. I had a terrible business name back then. It wasn't Style MySpace. It was Prepared to Sell. So as you recall, when you and I met, that had to change because we were incorporating interior design.
Right.
So it was pretty dismal. I didn't have any skills for Facebook and, you know, obviously Instagram and things like that weren't even around yet. So there wasn't a lot of platforms. Things are so much easier for people today, I think, to market themselves affordably. And, you know, we cover, you know, what is it, over 25 ways to market your business for little or nothing. Mm-hmm. So, and you're so great at the social media. I just love our sessions that we have with the web person and the social media, and it's so great.
And branding and all of that.
Kind of training.
Yeah, back then there wasn't really, I mean, there's always been branding, but it wasn't the buzz that it is now. You know, it was a lot harder, and that's what's so impressive about you. And, you know, here you are, new to LA, and you decide to start this business. And not only do you start it, but you became really successful. So I'm going to give them a little background on how we met. I was on shows, HGTV and TLC. I was at the end of my career hosting on television. And I decided that I wanted to start my business, you know, doing residential interior design. And it was kind of one of those things that I was like, wow, it's a lot of work going from the ground up. And I started researching home stagers that did not offer interior design. And I thought it would probably be a really good idea for me to partner up with someone and say, I will handle the interior design portion of your business. Let's become partners. And the only credibility that I have is that I've been on TV, you know, but I thought that that gave me the leverage to go to somebody. So I went to a couple of people and I met you and we immediately had a bond. I felt so comfortable with you. I loved that not only did you have Style MySpace, but you also already started the Academy of Home Staging. It was just the Academy of Home Staging. So it was a lot of different ways to make money. And when I met with you, you said, I don't do interior design because I'm teaching and certifying home stagers. Plus, I run a successful staging company and I'm giving that business away. So you were referring all of that interior design business to someone else, right?
I was. And it was a decent amount per year. And so it was great. When you sent me that email, the timing was great. The way you wrote it, I just was like, this girl's got some guts, and I really like where she's been, and she just the way you worded it, you're so great at writing.
And then,
I really wanted to meet you.
And so then this is what I love. So we meet, and then I tell Kim, like, I really want to, I feel like this would be really good for your company. I'm going to come in. You don't have to do any more work, but you're going to make more money because you're going to be my partner in this interior design. And she's like, okay, so what do you need from me? I'm like, a check. So I can open up an account. And she was like, okay, but that's kind of what interior design is too. And I tell our students that all the time. You have to build that rapport right away, because in that first hour of your initial meeting with your clients, you're asking them for a check. You know, you only know them for an hour. So that's what I will always say. Like, we practice with what we preach, because I met Kim and an hour later she handed me a check for $5,000. to get started. So, but that was really what was great about that, that was your initial investment. And within, I want to say, like, weeks, you made that money back.
Absolutely. Yes. You know, and it's interesting because I didn't have interior design on my website. I just promoted the staging. And people would call and want interior design services, even though my name was Prepared to Sell. But once we changed the name to Style My Space and started, and we created a page just for the design, that's when the calls started coming in. So if I have a tip for anyone that's currently in business, if your target market is, just cater to your target market of who you want, create a page for them on your website. And that will attract those people to you. And definitely, talk about it on some of the pages in other areas. So if you're looking for investors, have a page just for investors who are flipping. And maybe even mention it in different areas on your website as well. Mm-hmm. So if anyone's cruising around, such as real estate agents, they're going to know, even if they didn't go to the investors page, this person works with investors a lot. And that's another thing that I did shortly after you joined the team. I wanted to go after investors because that's a regular client that you can be servicing rather than constantly trying to find individual clients that are selling their home. It's much easier for if you're working with an investor. I have some investors that have been with me for over a decade.
Wow.
And they're still staging 10, 15 homes a year. And it's really nice to have that steady revenue, especially in time like during the pandemic, because they're still flipping. They still are running their business.
Right.
A lot of the people potentially, like in Los Angeles, the market's really hot right now. People are getting high prices for their homes. And so less people feel that they need to stage. So having a few of those investors in the, in your wheelhouse, in your pocket, can bring in all that revenue to kind of cover your overhead at least every month if it's slow with other clients.
That's a really good tip, Kim. And, I get a lot of students asking about staging vacation rentals. So if you have a dedicated page to that, you're going to be found, and they're going to be like, I want that person. And I can't stress enough that a lot of times people don't, especially now, people don't have websites because they use social media. But I still find that my most successful students are the ones that also have a website. Do you agree?
I agree. Yeah. I think it's more organized information rather than here's a bunch of our pictures, which is great. You want to have a lot of great pictures. And certainly in your profile, you have your phone number and your email probably. But at the same time, I think that if they can see a dedicated website that explains your services and if you want to put any pricing on there and also what each service entails, because someone is doing a certain service, for instance, there's three segments to home staging that you can offer. You can do consultations. You can do occupied homes, which is basically redesign. And you can do vacant homes where you bring in all the furniture and accessories and start from scratch and stage. And we were offering all of those pre-pandemic. But when the pandemic hit, we just decided we were going to go to a vacant home model. And I have to tell you, it's been fantastic for me. I feel like it's taken a lot of the busy work out of my business. Now, don't get me wrong. Not everybody, I'm not suggesting everybody cut those services out. But we just went to vacant services. So then when you're on your website, you want to just be very clear, because as a home stager, some home stagers sometimes have all of those services. So on our website, we have the ability to explain we are vacant home staging specialists.
Right.
And I also like working, using words like specialists and experts. And, you know, that really knocks home like what your specialty is for people. And they are going to call you about that more than the other services. So that's another way to attract a particular type of client. So if we're vacant home staging specialists and we do interior design, then we are showcasing what we're offering. And most people do know it's more for the staging than the interior design.
Right, right.
At this point.
Kim, I want to talk to you a little bit about, first of all, Kim has a warehouse that of, what's the square footage of your warehouse?
8,600.
Okay. I always say 10,000 because it feels like when I'm in the warehouse. But when did you decide to own your own rentals? Because that's another huge leap of faith. And what we, I want to, before I get into that, I always want to say that when we have our students, we always suggest that they don't buy one thing until they have their first client. And then we go through the steps of what they should buy first. And I think that's a question that we get a lot from people who are interested in staging, like, oh my goodness, do I have to have a big warehouse? Do I have to have my own furniture? You don't initially. And you don't ever if you don't want to. There's still ways of making really great money. But obviously, if you have your own rentals, you're also making money on the rentals. So when did you decide to own your own rentals?
You know, it's a smart business model. When you look at how much you're spending per year renting furniture from your local rental place, and then you see how much it costs to own, that's kind of where you want to be. Mm-hmm. I would say around 4 or 5 vacant homes per month is where you would want to be. If you have people that are consistently occupied homes and they just need a few pieces here and there, you might purchase those few pieces because they do have minimums, but I wouldn't get a large amount of furniture. And we did not start out large. Mm-hmm. So what happened is we bought out somebody else's inventory that was 4 houses worth of inventory about 4 years in. And that was kind of nice because we were renting on some. If it was a really big house, we would rent part. So we're still making extra money because it was our stuff. And we're, of course, charging the same price as we were charging before when we were renting all of it. And so that's when we kind of began slowly purchasing things. And I started out with kind of like side tables. You know, some of the side tables you rent can be like $50. It's ridiculous because you may as well buy it for that
right.
at HomeGoods.
Exactly.
So, and you need those side tables. And what's cool now is that it's a little bit more eclectic. Before, everything was matchy-matchy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I started. And now everything's like, so if you had 2 different kinds of sofas in the same room or a sofa and 2 different types of chairs, like they don't have to match. So,
right.
You know, if you pick up a really cool chair at HomeGoods, you can pair it up with something else that you're going to rent. In the meantime, and then when I would get big jobs, so this is probably the biggest tip I can give someone. When I would get really big jobs, like that were sort of beyond, you know, that was making me take another leap into the realm of you know, staging a more luxury type home. Because in the beginning, we were a little bit more working with investors and they wanted a cheap product. But then as we began to grow, we were doing more luxury. Mm-hmm. And so when I would get, like, say, a model home or something, I would take all of that revenue. I would invest it in that project as if it never even happened. And then I would, everything that I bought for that house was just the next step up, mm-hmm. and that would go back into our inventory.
Which is great. So how many homes can you stage at one time with your inventory?
We can probably do about 30 medium homes, 40 small homes. Mm-hmm. We've actually, because we've elevated our brand so much, once upon a time, we could have probably done 50 or 60, but we've kind of taken a lot of that inventory out with minimums now, mm-hmm. which is great. We don't go out into the field unless someone meets our minimum,
exactly.
Which is another thing. If you're on, if you're trying to grow, it's difficult to say to turn any work away sometimes. But if you're trying to grow, if you create a minimum, it's interesting that people will come. And you just keep elevating your brand and elevating your brand. And when people call and you say, gosh, I'd really love to help you out, but that doesn't meet my minimum. Please call me again next time. I'll refer you out. A lot of those people come back, believe it or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
On those bigger jobs. They're like, okay, great. I'll call you when I have a luxury home. So I've already kind of started establishing that I'm here for luxury and I don't do other types of homes.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How do you keep track of all of your inventory?
So there are many good CRMs out there. And for anyone who doesn't know what a CRM is, it's a customer relationship management program. It's just a big fancy word for it's a digital file cabinet, basically. And it's so fantastic because you can set up reminders and everything. A lot of them now, you can have all of your inventory categorized in there as well, and it's all under one roof. So you can have a job file that says 123 Main Street, the customer's name, everything that went into that house, and you can check out the furniture, and you can put it back in. And if you want to do your accessories, you could even inventory your accessories that way as well. We are so large that we don't personally do our accessories in the inventory, mm-hmm. Just because it would take longer to find that one piece, that one vase,
right.
than it is to sort of pack as you're going. But we always take pictures. And of course, now with Redfin and Zillow and all the others, all those pictures are even up there. So if something were to be missing and you forgot to take pictures, that's kind of a catalog of your inventory right there. Mm-hmm.
And then how long in your career did you say, all right, I want to teach this? Like, where were you in your career?
Oh, it's pretty quick.
Really?
Pretty quick. You know, it just really bothered me, Wanda. After I took that class, I was going like, they just didn't do it right. Like, well, this should have been hands-on, and we should have been taught this, because as I was getting going, I realized where all the holes were.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and it was, like, I would just think about it and be like, yeah. Why didn't we learn how to pick out paint colors? They told us that we would have to suggest to people that they might need to paint. Of course, they're going to ask us what those paint colors are.
Right.
Why isn't there
That's one of the first things. Oh, my goodness. That's one of the first things every client asks is color. You know?
Right. Yeah, there has to be a module on that. And how do you pick a quick paint color for someone who's staging? So, you know, we have a really easy formula that I created. But, you know, all of it was so many holes that I just kept coming up with exercise after exercise. And, like, it just kept stuck with me. I had a life coach at the time, and she said, you have to build a school. I'm like, no. I'm in the middle of building a staging company. She's like, no, you really need to do this. And I don't know, somewhere along the line, I just said, yeah, I have to do this. There has to be something as I kept inventing all these exercises and ideas and ways to teach people and how it could have made more sense along the way. and the flow of it. It was like I had to build it because it was already all in my head.
You know what? I love that you said that, you know, at the time you had a life coach. And I think that is one of the things that I love the most about teaching at the Academy is that we do have that coaching program, because I feel like it, like their success is our success. So it holds me accountable and it holds them accountable to do the job, to do the work, you know, because, you know, it's one thing to get certified. It's another thing to then the next day go and do it. So I love that you had coaching, because I think, you know, everyone in their career early on could use that guidance, you know, that we also provide. So I love that, because once again, you know, you're learning from people who've done it, who've been there and know how to fill those gaps that you started with. You started with Swiss cheese, you know, and you filled all those gaps throughout the year, which is amazing. And then that's the beginning of the Academy of Home Staging. And then we met a couple of years after that. So the Academy of Home Staging was already established. You already had some success with that. What I love about it is we cap it at 9 students for each class. It gives everyone an opportunity to interact and to really get hands-on. I love the formula that you created. Then we started doing interior design, and soon after, I started teaching the classes, and the interior design part of your business was growing, and we actually had to hire people, which is, you know, also growing pains, because initially you hire someone and you make less money. But then the potential for growth is there, and we followed that same formula and grew. So I remember at one point before we hired someone, I had 15 clients, and 15 clients for an interior designer is a lot. Because
it is
because interior design is a little bit different than staging. The two businesses go so well hand in hand, but they're very different. The relationship in interior design is with the homeowner, and it is a strong relationship. They call you day and night, and it's a luxury service, so it's pretty intense. However, it's super rewarding. And I am a people person, so I love that aspect of that job. And then I came to Kim and said, you know, why don't we do this for design? Now, design is a lot harder to get into. People are more intimidated in the interior design program, but we have 6 pro design steps that really, for me, if I had this in my early education, I feel like I would have been even more successful. It was kind of fun, because I came to Kim and said, I'd like to do interior design, the business of interior design. And I feel like this would be another step for the home stagers. They can take this class and give them leverage in their business, as well as let them do design work, you know, decorating work. And so Kim was all in, and we went to a cabin for a few weekends and wrote the manual. So that was, that was a lot of fun, actually.
It was. I think we were actually there like 10 days in a row or something crazy. And we just like pounded it out. Like we still worked on it after that, but we went to a cabin after that. But it took quite, you know, we had a lot of the ideas and concepts and just, you know, writing all of those out. But I love that you created that 6 steps, because it's foolproof. Anybody that's doing that, it's basically guarantees the success of the job. And I think that's where a lot of the intimidation comes in, the feeling of, you know, worry on the designer's part. But the way it's set up, it's pretty much foolproof.
And I always like the way you explain this, Kim, how the two businesses work hand in hand, because when staging, you know, isn't busy, interior design is. So if you wouldn't mind just kind of explaining that a little bit more.
Sure. It really keeps everything well-rounded because the economy, like right now in Los Angeles, everything is going so we're doing a lot more interior design. When the economy is up, everybody has more money and they say, gosh, you know, we should update. And then when the economy is down, ironically, so funny because when the economy is great, so many real estate agents comment to me about, oh, you should be super busy, which is interesting because things are flying off the shelf isn't really when we're getting called. It's when stagers are super busy in the declining economy. Like you can't even keep up. Because what's happening is people, and this is going to happen very shortly for me, and we've been very busy again. The feds are going to raise the rates. And so that means people will qualify for lower loans, but the housing prices are very high right now. So they're trying to really kind of sell right now because with what will happen eventually is that the sellers will have to bring down their prices on their home. And they don't want to do that because that means that they're going to get less money, obviously. So they're going to call stager to help their house look a little better. And to, you know, staging can actually help improve them. So as it's declining, they're kind of chasing the market. But staging is that one affordable service that they have done that's going to help improve their value and retain as much of that as possible. Homeowners kind of find out that it's a seller's market almost as it's ending, because by the time the buzz drizzles down to the homeowners and they think about it, it's almost too late at that point. You really have to act fast. Mm-hmm. And so they're hearing the neighbor just sold for 1.5 and they're like thinking, oh yeah, maybe we should sell. And by the time that that happens, it's starting to go the other way. The thing that's really predictable is that the economy will always rise and fall. It's never going to be even keel. Mm-hmm. And so when you have both industries going on, when the staging's a little slow, the interior design is usually busy. And when the interior design is slow, it's because the economy is shrinking back. But that means that the house values are falling. And that's when you get really busy with your staging.
It's so interesting. You know, when Kim first told me that, I was like, really? I never paid attention to that. But when we started working together, I was like, wow, she's right. Because when I wasn't busy, I was helping you with staging. And when I was crazy busy, I was like, Kim, I need help. I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm like, I've got way too many clients. And I'm about to go on Craigslist and hire anybody. which initially we did. Initially, I remember going into living spaces. And the girl that was helping me, she did such a great job. I was like, do you want a job? Would you like to be my assistant?
And now it's so great because we have the student, you know,
yeah.
So our graduates can
I know.
Help with some of our projects. Or if they're something that's a little too small, we can pass along to them and just hand them the job, which is great.
It is great. And so then we created the interior design classes. And I have to say it's one of my biggest accomplishments. You know, I love teaching. I love that I created this part of your company. And like I said earlier, my students' success is my success. And we have had some unbelievably successful graduates. I mean, I'm so impressed.
They've surpassed me within their first year or two. And mostly because they're coaching with you and they're really, you know, going at it, and there's better tools out there today to market your business. But I'm just floored.
And I'm blown away.
People that come from overseas.
That's
you know, we
the
have
other
a gal
thing.
From Norway coming next week.
It's so crazy. I remember the one time we had an email came in from Beirut, and that was Suha, remember? And initially I was like, I don't know, like, is this spam? Like, I'm not quite sure what's going on here, you know, and I ignored the email. And a couple days later, it was I got this email again, and I'm like, okay, let me set up a WhatsApp with this person. And it was really interesting because what we take for granted, she had to go through a lot of hoops to be able to attend the academy. And I even got vetted, which I had no idea. Like, they did background checks on me and everything before she got the okay to come to the United States
from her country.
So that was kind of the most amazing student. And she's my friend on Facebook. We keep in touch. She actually just today, it says like 6 years of friendship with Wanda, and she posted it. I thought that was pretty cool. So I'll have to tell her that I mentioned her in the podcast. But yeah, it's kind of amazing that one class, I felt like it was, you know, the United Nations, because we had someone from Mexico, we had someone from China, we had somewhere else, I can't remember, Brazil, that's right, someone from Brazil, two from the United States. I was like, okay, representing. It was really crazy. And I was like, Kim, how are these people hearing about us? You know, but I think it's because our website looks so good. We do a really great job with marketing and we practice what we preach.
Absolutely. I think people are looking for that experience, and that comes through where this is almost like a coaching and mentorship throughout the process, mm-hmm. rather than a stand at the front of the room and speak for 6 days. This is, you know, we're right in there with the students, and they're even, I mean, by day six, they're almost crying that they're leaving because they've made such good friendships and bonds, and they just want to keep going and they don't want to leave you. And that's always super rewarding.
It is. And we do have an amazing instructor in New York as well. Her name is Kara Woods. She does the home staging, and then she does do an overview of interior design in her class. And that's in New York City, which is so amazing. And what we had to do when COVID happened, because all of a sudden we went from, you know, being sold out and having a waiting list to no more live classes. And that happened, I would say, was it like 2 or 3 weeks before Kara's class?
Yes.
And so we had to scramble. I mean, Tammy was freaking out, and we had to create a virtual experience. And we really pride ourselves in being hands-on. You know, hands-on, you're going to go into people's homes. When you take the design class, I take you into my client's home, and you get to design one of their spaces. And so it's like, how do we turn that into the same quality education and experience, but online? That was really stressful.
It was. Yes. And Kara did a great job too. She had a couple houses lined up, and she went there and kind of did it virtually from there. And so that was great.
Amazing. We didn't think we could do it, but we did. We then changed all of our classes to virtual. We added some extra classes where now you can take the class. It's a hybrid class where you take the class online, and then after you're finished with the class, you spend a couple of days with me going over exercises and stuff. So I thought that was cool. And the one thing that I'm most proud of is that we converted the manuals to Spanish. So we're doing bilingual classes. I like to say bilingual instead of Spanish speaking, because some of the technical words I have to say in English. I'm like, no sé cómo decir eso. I don't know how to say that in Spanish, you know? So, but what's really great is we have some bilingual instructors as well. George Cameron, who was One of my partners in the interior design, I hired him on, and actually he grew to a partner very quickly, became an instructor. And we also have Elda Hernandez, who is of Mexican descent, and her Spanish is amazing. And so she's one of the instructors. So we're looking forward to doing that and launching that first virtually, and then who knows, maybe live. And so these are all of the things that we had to do when COVID happened. And what was really great is the people that were in the mentoring program, I was doing the same thing. It's like, we have to reinvent ourselves. You know, you can't just close up shop. You have to have that visual presence also. It would have been really easy for us to say, you know, it is what it is, and we're going to close up shop, and that would have been the end of this chapter. But I feel like we actually grew as a business.
I agree. Yes.
And
just so everybody knows, you mentioned converting all the classes. We still have the live classes, which is amazing. And you'll be here in Los Angeles teaching next week.
I actually, my flight is tomorrow. So I'll be in LA tomorrow. And we have a full class, a pretty full class. And then the interior design class is at the end of March. And that's also pretty full. So I'm really excited.
That's very tall.
I think it's sold out, right?
Yeah, I think it might be.
Yeah.
There might be one seat left.
Whoop, whoop. So it almost feels like old times, but I'm so excited that, you know, because things have changed for me as well. I no longer live in Los Angeles. I recently got married. I moved to Florida. I no longer do a lot of residential clients. I have just a few to keep me in the mix of things, but I really focus most of my time on the academy and now the design rules. So it's kind of like that whole thing, be bold, design your life. I'm a big believer of doing a vision board every year. Kim and I, when we first started working together, we did vision boards together. I think it's really important to know where you want your life to go. And so I decided a few years ago that I wanted to move from LA and be closer to my family, and I had to refocus my life, but still do what I'm passionate about. And it is interior design, it is home staging and teaching. And I feel so blessed that, you know, somehow I met Kim and all of this happens for a reason.
It's a fantastic partnership, and I sure am grateful for you.
Thank you, Kim. So I always end the podcast by asking people, like, what was the funniest or craziest thing that happened during a staging or a design install? And I'll give you mine first with your, as an experience with you. So the funniest thing that I think that happened to us when we were working together was I was doing interior design for one of her investors, and I did his whole house, and it was amazing. He gave me a lot of creative freedom, and the before and afters, which I can post pictures on our Instagram, are really amazing, because the house was, the person who lived in the house first was a hoarder, and he was a very posh, eccentric, he liked to spend money and he wanted to showcase his place kind of guy. And when I first saw the place, I was like, I literally called Kim and said, I don't know if I can make this happen, you know? And Kim's like, well, girl, you're going to have to. But then, you know, we have a long relationship with this guy, and my relationship is different than yours. And Kim does all of his stagings, but he would notoriously not show up. His houses weren't ready for staging. He would be late. And Kim was like, I can't work with this guy anymore. And I said, well, you know, I get it, but as long as it doesn't affect what I'm doing. And she's like, I really can't. And, you know, there's sometimes in your business when your client isn't ideal, you're not reaching that ideal client and you have to let them go. And you did. Do you remember that?
I've had to fire a few clients. And I think just because at some point,
you have to value your time.
Yes. And also they start to, the more you put up with that, the more somehow the universe sends you more of that.
That's really good advice. Yeah, absolutely. And so he called me up and he's like, your girl fired me.
Dude, I remember.
And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. You know, you stand her up all the time and she still has to pay her crew. You know, you can't do that in staging installs. And he's like, but she fired me. Like, what? And I was like, sorry, man. So I think for me, that was the funniest thing because I continued to work with him until we finished his property. You know,
did you do another project for him?
I did. I did do another project for him. And he, every time he saw me, he's like, man, I still can't believe your girl. And he would just always say that your girl fired me. But that's,
I've never worked for him again, but yeah, that's funny because you went on to continue to do a project or two with him after that.
Yeah, it's really hilarious. But I think that's also a really good tip for new stagers and new designers and new entrepreneurs. You know, make sure you know who your ideal client is. And when someone shows up that's not your ideal client, it's okay to say no. It's okay to say this isn't working for us. You know, and how I word it is, you know, I don't think I'm the designer for you, but maybe I can refer someone, but I don't think that this is a good fit. And you have to respect and honor yourself, you know, and I feel like I learned that from Kim when she fired, we won't say any names, and it was a good lesson learned. You know, for me, he was a great client because he gave me so much creative freedom and he had a big budget. So for me, and he didn't have to be there. You know, he didn't have to be in the property. That's the difference between the two jobs. You know, but when you're doing a staging install, you need the house to be ready. You need the doors to be open because you're in there and you're creating magic within a couple of hours. You know, so that's kind of the difference. What was your funniest or craziest moment?
You know, sometimes we had a day where we were doing two houses. That's not uncommon. But they were kind of similar. It was the same number of rooms, the same kind of room. And I don't know if the schedule, like, was, I don't know what happened, but the stuff ended up at the opposite job. And so I had a conversation with the designer at the other house and I'm like, okay, what did you pack? Cause like, you know, can we make this work with that? Because they're complete opposite sides of town. You know, do we need to switch trucks? What are we doing? And, you know, I had no idea what she packed. She didn't really know what I had packed. And, you know, we just made it work. That's what you do. You know, there's so many ways to, set up a room and to stage it. And we were just able to make it work. And nobody was the wiser. Like the clients came in and went, wow, this is fantastic.
You know what? That is like the perfect way to end this episode. You know, you make it work. You know, but you're still proud of what you created. You know, it is a very creative industry. And, you know, once again, I'm so blessed to know you, Kim, and for you to be my business partner. I couldn't have designed my life better if I, you know, wrote it out. So thank you so much for being here. Thanks for always inspiring me and being my coach, because there are many times, and just recently I called Kim and said, I need help with this. Like, I need some advice on this. And it had to do with something financial. And Kim was like, oh, this is what you need to do. You need to do this. And I mean, I'm so grateful for that. And thank you for being here.
Thank you, Wanda. I just love you to death. And I appreciate you with awesome. All my heart.
And then if anyone out there has any questions for, you know, if you're thinking about staging or interior design, you know, feel free to contact us at the Academy of Home Staging and Design. If there's any homeowners out there that have questions on what they're working on or would like to contact me, you can do that at thedesignrules.info. So that's how you get a hold of us. Thank you so much and have a great day.